I don't know, a title for today could be, Do You Know Him? Or What's in a Name? And just this week, we've talked a bit about it through the service. You know, there's been awful things happening. And there'll be investigations going on, you know, all over Europe. And there'll be certain, you know, checking places, and there's man and woman hunts and photos and descriptions going up. And the authorities will be trying to piece together what's happened. And who's been behind all this and who's involved. And the investigators will be going into certain areas where the killers lived. And they'll be asking questions. And probably the questions, you know, I don't know the questions they'll ask, but have you seen this person? Have you seen this person, perhaps? And they might have a photo or a name. Have you seen this person? Did you know them? Did you know that person? What were they like? What did they do? Where did they go? These will be the things they're asking, you know, all these investigations. And sometimes when we go to funerals, people get up and they have to say a few nice, try and say a nice word. You know, no one gets up and says some bad words about this person. Or, this person was a no good so-and-so. They usually get up and say, you know, this person was kind and thoughtful, and they're always trying to do something good. And that's kind of what happens. Remembering the good parts of their character is what they try and do. And we all here, we have names, don't we? We all have names. I'm Dave, or David. Full name, David Edward Evans. And, you know, if I have to do something important, that's what I'd have to write down, my name. And that's who I am. Well, that's how people would know me. And sometimes you might have a nickname. I don't know if you ever had a nickname. I had a nickname when I was younger. And so in the past, you may have had, you just had one name usually. So I would be David. And then they'd say, but what David are you? And they'd say, well, he's David's son of Eddie, Edson. And or might even say, actually, I've got to try and remember my granddad's name. Never mind. Or if somebody knew my brothers, they might say David, brother of John. Yeah, if they knew the brother, you know, ask Dave, you know, David, brother of so-and-so. So then that's how some surnames came about. So in, you know, we know a Johnson, so that would have been son of John. And then you have surnames that come around a different way. So Wainwright has a meaning, doesn't it? Do you know what it means? Yeah, yeah, making wheels. So our names will say something about, perhaps in the past it would have, so I could be David's son of so-and-so. Or I could have been, if I made clothes, I could have been David the tailor. So that would end up being David Taylor. I used to know a David Taylor, but he wasn't a tailor. Could be a David Cook, because might have been a cook in the family. Or perhaps in a modern version, it would have been David the mechanic. Or something. Right, okay. So we have David so-and-so, nickname. David, brother of, or it could be David from Peace Pottage. Or, as I was when I was at school, I came from Africa. So I came to this school and all the kids thought, now how are we going to, no, they called me, they didn't call me David, see, because in Wales, David gets shortened to Di. So, Di. So I was called Di Africa. That was my nickname, Di Africa. Yeah? That's what they said. Oh, it's Di Africa. See, because that would distinguish me between... And then that got shortened to Di Afi. See, so then it became Di Afi. And then it just ended up as Afi. So anybody in my school, if you said David Evans, they would know who I was. But if you said Afi, they'd know who I was. I was more well known because I was Afi. Anybody knew Afi, but they wouldn't know who David Evans was. That was my school. So that was my school nickname. And it went from junior up to... And some nicknames stuck. One boy once wore wellies to school and he got called Welly for the rest of his school life. And there were some worse ones than that. But names stuck. But it's how they did things. And sometimes people were given a name depending on character. You know, it could have been David the Greedy. That's, if you look at some of your king's histories and things, David the Greedy. Could have been David the Generous. David the Liar. David the Honest. You know, these are kind of how they got labelled. Have you ever heard of Vlad the Impaler? Well, you'd have to go Google it and you might find a bit of nasty history there. But they got a nickname because of who he was. Titles sometimes are added because of our achievements or our duties or responsibilities or entitlements. So nowadays someone might be called Doctor so-and-so or Professor, Sir, Dame, the Honourable. You can list them off. You know, they are titles that you've got through either education or through birth or something that when you know it, you know, when you've got Doctor. And names can say something about you, can't they? Because if you were going into hospital and they said, oh yeah, your doctor is Dave the Butcher, what would you be thinking? You wouldn't go down too well, would it? Or this is Dave the Hedge Trimmer, he's going to come and cut your hair for you. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, names can say something about you. Or, we got Dave the Con to look after your finances for you. Yeah? So it would say something of who you are. And so what's in a name? What's in a title? And as we lead up to Christmas, we're going to have this because this is our King and we need to know who our King is. And we got to see it over and over because it's a form of prophecy. It's a form of exaltation of who he is. And so I'm going to play this over and over and this is who we, and it's good to focus on him because that's who he is. So I want to just, because we could just make up all those phrases, couldn't we? You could just make up phrases. But I'm going to, going into the Bible, we look at some of where they come from. Because we could just go and say a whole load of nice things. You know, like you could do. But so if I, just going to read through a few verses, and then we might just do it again. We're going to have overload of it. But it's a good overload. So, and we look, I'm going to look at, just read some verses, pick out some of the statements, and then you can see that where he's got it from, because he hasn't just made it all up. It's got to come from somewhere. So, right back at the beginning of Jesus, before his birth, we have the angel speaks, Gabriel, and he's talking to the parents and he's of Jesus, and he says, "You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." That's talking about God. So before he was born, he's called Jesus. And what that name means is God saves. So before he's born, he's already called. You're going to call him God saves. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's a phrase for the Son of God. So that's before he's born. So can you imagine an angel telling you that about your child? "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David," so in that statement there, that was the lineage, and he's going to be, he's a king. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob," that's when he's saying that, it's saying Israel, "forever. His kingdom will never end." It's an everlasting kingdom. So just in that one verse, or whatever it is, one or two verses there, I think it's a verse, you have a whole load of titles straight off, bang, bang, bang. So you are to call him Jesus, that Saviour. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So we've already got a load of titles. Again, in the next chapter, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, and I'll just pick the bit. Angels speaking to the shepherds there. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. So we got a Saviour again. A Saviour is going to be born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, Christ, what does that mean? Christ means anointed one. So when someone was... Who's going to be the next king in this country? Or queen, even. It could be Charles. And what they would have done in the old Bible times, they would go and pour oil on them even before they became king to say, this is the designated one. See, so Samuel went and poured oil on David and said, David, one day you are going to be king. Not there and then, not next week, but some point you're going to be king. And this is the same thing. He is the anointed one, the designated one. So Jesus is the... So it says, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, or the Messiah, or the Saviour, or the anointed one of the Lord, of God. So we get that from the angels. So this is before even Jesus is... born. Well, one's just before he's born, one is when he's born, and then we've got this one, the wise men or the magi, whatever you want to call them. And this is just a little bit after Jesus is born. Maybe it could be a year after he's born. It might even be 2 years after he's born, but it's a little bit after. And we have the wise men, they come to Jerusalem, and they're looking for the king, and they obviously think he's at the palace. And so what do? They go to the king and they say, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Now they think he's like the king's son or something. So they go to the king and say, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And so the king was a bit disturbed by this, because he's thinking, well, it's not my son. So who is this usurper that's going to take my throne? I want to kill it. They didn't say it, I want to kill him. He said, ooh, tell me when you find him so I can go and worship him too. But what he had in mind is, tell me so I can go and kill the person who's going to take away my throne from me. But they wanted to see this king, but he was more than a king to them, because they wanted to also worship him. And I actually personally believe that this goes all the way back to Daniel. And these were the wise men that Daniel had sort of taught. And they came all the way from somewhere like what is modern day Iran or Iraq. And they traveled west to Israel. And they knew that not this Savior was more than just a king, that he was the Saviour, because Daniel would have told them that some great person is coming. So there we have three statements. So we've already got some of these statements that we can get the words that we've heard. Go on a little bit. Jesus is grown up and he goes to get baptized. He hasn't done anything at this point as yet, particularly. He's just been a good boy and he's grown up, and now he's a man. He hasn't started on his mission yet, as Ian said. Thought that was good. He hasn't actually done anything to show that he's good. He hasn't been crucified or anything. And it says, a voice from heaven says, this is my son, whom I love. So he's son of God, because the voice from heaven is God speaking. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Even though he hadn't actually started doing anything. I thought that was a great point that was pointed out then. So we got another statement there. And just as a little one I'll throw in here, even the evil spirits knew who he was. And they declared. Now, you could say, well, an evil spirit could be lying and that. But they kind of recognized him. So we have the man full of evil spirits, speaks, shouts out. He cried at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Say, Jesus of Nazareth, where he came from. "Have you come to destroy us?" They recognized his power. "I know who you are." They knew who he was. "The Holy One of God." They recognized him. And they gave him a title that no one else recognized at that point. Most people around wouldn't know that. And he tells him to be quiet. I don't know why they say all that. I don't know if they were trying to tell people who he was before he was. And I'll just do one more. So we have all different. We have had angels. We've had the voice of God. We've had evil spirits know who he is. This is all the spiritual realm, really, isn't it? Start to declare who this person is. It's not people so far. It's the spiritual realm. Angels have spoken. God has spoken. Even evil spirits have spoken. They recognize who he is. They declare it before man understands. Then he comes, and then I'm going to pick one other, the centurion, but he doesn't actually give him a title, but he says this, the centurion recognizes that Jesus had authority, because we had it in this a similar one in the story. He said, "I'm a man of authority," the centurion says. He says, "If I tell that servant to go and make me a cup of tea," well, I didn't say that in the Bible, but. He goes off and makes it. "And if I tell that one to go and wash the dishes," he goes and does it. "So all you need to do, Jesus, is just say that my, whatever it is, be healed, and they'll be healed." And Jesus goes, "Wow, you understand who I am more than anybody else in Israel. I haven't seen such faith and understanding in Israel." And so this centurion recognizes who Jesus is, a man of authority, that he had the power over the spiritual and realm and the sicknesses. And so what I think, I'd just probably stop there, just as that's a kind of starter point. And we just play it once more to finish with. Yeah? And that's all I really wanted to say today.